Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dr. Tan G Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tan G. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tan G, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tan G, I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tan G.
Hey, welcome to the show that was founded on Kingdom Principles, a show that was designed to move you from where you are to where you want to be, a show that have guests that come over and tell us how they got here, and they're unashamed of whatever they've gone through to inspire us and motivate us. And before we get the show started today, I want to dedicate this show to Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gigi, and to the other wonderful people that lost their lives on Sunday. It has truly rocked our world out here, and I just want to let you know that we're strong, we're standing, and our prayers are definitely with the family and friends and loved ones of everyone involved. Today's show is about hope and faith. We've got a guest that will be calling in that is truly carrying the mantra, has that mantra of hope and faith, and her story reads like a litany of what to do when you're troubled. She's a beautiful spirit, wonderful soul, and I know that we are going to glean from her as she tells us some things about what she's had to go through to get here. And before all of that greatness, I want to focus in on today, hope and faith. You hear people tell you, you know, keep the faith. You'll even hear people say something along the lines of, well, you know, you got to keep hope alive. And that's the truth. But what I've learned in the last few months is that one really cannot exist without the other. It is truly impossible for you to have faith and not have hope, and vice versa. If you are a scholar, or if your mama or grandmama or somebody have told you that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, it is the truth. But how do you keep hope and faith coexisting when you look around and there's so much travesty going on? How do you keep a smile on your face when everything that's within you want to scream? How do you show up for your daughter, or show up for your sons, or show up for your husband or wife, or show up for you? There's not a one-dimensional answer for that, but there is an answer that I have had to use in my life, and that answer for me has been my relationship. And you hear me say this quite often, you're my relationship with God. But in a whole other dimension, your relationship with God has to be one where you are so in tune with Him that you make up your mind that no matter what, I am going to stand no matter what. I am going to persevere no matter what. Hope is tangible. Hope is seeable. Hope is knowing that should I choose to exercise my belief in knowing that I may not be where I am right now, but where I'm going, I believe my faith. I believe my faith will take me there. It will go through whatever mountain it has to. It will cross whatever waters it has to. Whatever's going on in my life, I choose to be hopeful and yet exercise my faith. I've missed you. I've truly, truly have missed you. And for those who took time to send a text and maybe a phone call and you didn't reach me, or maybe an email, I thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, because I today have chosen to live my life as he would have me, but in doing what's right. What's good feels good, and you hear people say, do what's good, but there's a time in your life that you have to make up your mind that you're going to do what's right. And for me, what's right is showing up. It's telling you that you got this. It's giving you a guarantee that if I can come through insurmountable woes and tie a knot in this thing called faith and hold on, then I need you to do just that. I told you that you were in for a treat. And believe me when I say that, you are truly in for a treat. This young woman hails as a graduate of Tuskegee University. She is a woman of substance. She is a woman who sets the stratosphere, and she believes in what she's doing. She is doing it. And I am very honored to have her come and share with us some nuggets of how she got here. She's none other than Ms. Vanessa Vaughn Jackson. Hello, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you? Wow.
I am well. I am well. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much for being on the Dr. Tanji Show and taking time out of your really busy schedule. You know, you're an author. You're a businesswoman. I'm going to even liken you to a mogul, someone who just said, you know what? I am not going to quit no matter what. And your message is so profound. And as I was reading your bio and I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, wow, one, you're so absolutely gorgeous. And two, you don't look like what you've been through, woman.
Absolutely.
So you're hailing from Alabama. You know I'm from Mississippi, right?
Oh, wow, yes.
We're Southern girls. So I've got to ask you that proverbial question. How did you get here? Why are you doing what you're doing? And your message of you're not what you've been through is profound. Would you take us back to when you decided, you know what, I'm not going to allow what I've been through to hamper or to stop me from doing what I know that I was born to do?
Sure. And I think, honestly, that the decision was pretty much made for me at birth. I kind of share, you know, as a part of my story was that, you know, my mom was addicted to drugs. And so I was born not given much of a chance to survive. That's how much I was impacted by the drug addiction. And so at birth, it wasn't expected that I would survive. And so one of my uncles actually named me Grace. And that's to this day, that's what he calls me, because it's surely like by the grace of God that I survived even birth. And so from that point on, I think that it was destined that, you know, I wouldn't be a person who allowed life circumstances and events to cause me to, you know, suffer or to not meet my greatest potential. So I think in that way, it was predestined. And so as a child, I think growing up, sometimes when you're experiencing things and you're in the midst of it, you're not aware of how significant or how fearful maybe you should be or how heavy the situation is or the weight of it all. And so you're merely just surviving. And I think the pivotal point came, you know, as a child, you know, just feeling the urge to just have a different perspective or not allow the situation to determine how I would respond or who I would be. And I just felt early on, you know, this drive to continue or just keep going. There's something coming or there's something that's expected or there's something that you're going to do greater than the situation you're in. And I won't say that, you know, it was always easy. I mean, growing up, there were certainly times where you compared yourself to other people, mm-hmm. or you wonder why me or how this would turn out. Going through college, would be experiencing sexual abuse. And so those are things that typically will, you know, take people out of here. It's just devastating and it can certainly alter the trajectory of your life. And I just thank God that that wasn't the case for me.
Yes.
But there were certainly steps along the way. There were people along the way to kind of remind me of that, which I knew to be true, that there is purpose. There's going to be a way that this will, you know, things won't always be this way, and I'll be able to accomplish things that are beyond my wildest dreams. So I think that's the how, and ultimately the why. Mm. The why for me is always to help others. That's, you know, I am a champion for the underdog. I am a champion for those in poverty. I'm a champion for kids who are subjected to violence, drug addiction, and just things that they shouldn't be subjected to. So that is the why and motivation. And then, you know, certainly my family and my son coming into the picture certainly became the why that I couldn't escape. Because I wasn't always one to talk about my life experiences. I thought, well, no, you know, people might perceive you or they might see that as weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of kept that private for the most part until I had my son and I was just flooded with all of these emotions. And I said, you know, now is the time. Now is the time to bring truth to light and to let people know that you're not a product of your environment. You're not a product of the problem or the situation mm-hmm. that you were placed in.
Right.
And so that's kind of in a nutshell.
Absolutely.
how things got to where they are today.
Absolutely. And, you know, your transparency, I have to say thank you, because oftentimes when you or someone has reached a pinnacle of success in the area of their gifting, oftentimes you're told, no, don't tell that story, or, you know, just save it for this particular venue. And for you to be as open, honest, sincere, as transparent as you are, my hat goes off to you. If you do not mind, I just want to, because we're faced now with a lot of, I for lack of a better word, demons that our children, our future is faced with. And it boggles my mind. You touched on before starting your nonprofit, and I want to get to that nonprofit, because it was one of those aha, wow, really kind of situations when I'm reading what you believe and why you started it. You touched on the abuse, and I have talked with young children or young girls, and they've shared, you know, some of what they've gone through, not all, but some of it. What would you say, or how do we get the word out that this is real? Yes, we know that there are situations, poverty, we know, you know, you're in an abusive home, but sexual abuse is something that really is happening more so now than ever. How do we have that conversation but not stigmatize the person who has gone through it?
Sure. I think the primary thing that we can do, or anyone can do, to support survivors, to keep kids safe and to reduce the prevalence of sexual abuse, is to honor those people when they share their truth. And so often someone will test the waters by saying, you know, something happened. And before they can even start to talk about that experience, it's going, well, what do you mean? And what were you doing there? Mm. And are you sure? And so immediately that person regrets the idea of being honest, of telling their truth. Mm-hmm. And they start to worry about, well, what will people think? What will happen? How am I going to be treated? How is my life going to be different? So they start down this path of regret. And trying to remove the stigma, the dirt, and the notion that that maybe what happened to them wasn't what they experienced. Mm-hmm. So I think just validating a person and not having any judgment about it and saying, thank you so much for sharing, or I'm just here to listen. I won't profess to have any answers or to try to be your therapist in this moment, but I just want to hear what you have to say. Absolutely. So giving them that initial validation is one part. Mm-hmm. The other part that is truly troubling in our community is this notion of secrecy and silence, oh, right? Yes. So there's this notion of protecting the perpetrator. Mm-hmm. Or do you know what will happen to the family if you tell? Do you know what will happen if you say this about your brother? Or are you sure you want to talk about this? Right. And so we have to take a stance of, you know, truth is primary. You have to tell the truth, and it's okay to tell the truth, and it mm-hmm. doesn't matter who a person is. It could be your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, a teacher, a physician. Right. It could be anyone that has inappropriately, you know, done something to you in a sexual manner. It's okay to tell the truth. Their status mm-hmm. does not allow them to abuse you in any way and get away with it. Yes. And so often people don't speak up or talk about it because of that stigma, the inherent shame. Mm-hmm. And even me, you know, even telling my story, there are times when I'm just like, oh, you know, there's a nervousness or an uneasiness, and I've told it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's never regret is what I'll say. And every time that I open my mouth to share my story, there's always someone who'll be waiting for me at the end of that presentation, mm-hmm. of that speaking engagement, and they'll say, you know, they'll whisper, thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never had a safe space to talk about it. Everything that you said is what I experienced, or that happened to my brother or my mother or my sister. Right. And I kid you not, no matter what the speaking engagement, no matter where I am, there is always someone with an amen about that experience. And so that just tells me to keep going. Absolutely. To keep moving, to spread the word of truth to light. So I think having awareness, validating the person, mm-hmm. And allowing them to speak their truth without dismissing them or shaming them into retracting that.
Absolutely. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Fast forward a little bit, and now you're in practice and you're helping others share that truth, their truth, and the validation and giving them the nuggets of not only experience but science behind this. You start a nonprofit. Get the word out. Is that it? Get the word out.
Incorporated.
I love it. I absolutely love that. And you incorporated not only your past, but again, your past, your present, and then you're giving the persons that you're speaking with a hope. How, mm-hmm. why the importance on reaching back and making certain that, and I know it sounds like just a, you know, why would you ask me that redundant question, Dr. Tanji, but why is that so important? I mean, you've got, you, with everything you've gone through, your successes, you're a published author, and we're going to get to that after having Langston. I love that name, by the way. Why?
Thank you.
Absolutely. Why is it so important to get the word out, to have those conversations?
Sure, because what I have learned before I even decided to go to begin specifically to talk about sexual abuse, I was, you know, practicing as a clinician, working with young people and young adults who were experiencing significant psychiatric illness, so major depression, severe anxiety, and mood disorders. And so quite often in going through their history and exploring some contributing factors, there would be some element of trauma. And it kept coming up, at least for me in my practice, that there was some sort of sexual trauma or aggression in a sexual way that these young people had, you know, gone through. And so I kept thinking, like, what can I do? And I would always just, you know, in my sessions, or more likely in my group sessions, I would do activities around body safety and expressing your emotions, like things that address protective factors. So protective factors are things that reduce the likelihood of someone being abused. Mm-hmm. And so I would give them activities to explore those areas, but not necessarily say, hey, I'm going to be introducing protective factors to prevent sexual abuse, but just empowering them in that way. And so after I had my son, to be quite frank, that's when I noticed, like, I had this fear, like, you know, what am I going to do to help him and to protect him? And so I had all these ideas that I had been incorporating in group sessions and in therapy, that I was reviewing while I was on maternity leave. And my husband was like, you can put that all together and do something. Mm. You know, you can start an initiative. And I was like, you know, that would mean I would have to tell my story.
Right.
And thinking about that, I was like, to tell my story, I would have to go back and start with my family, because this isn't something we talk about. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of unanswered questions I have. My abuser abused other people. There's so many layers to this. And so I just decided that, you know, for the sake of my son's well-being and the well-being of other kids, you know, I've got to get the word out. And so GWO, I just envision it as the W being silent, and it just says go. Like, we've got to do something immediately. Let's go. Let's inform our communities about how prevalent this is. Let's talk about how secrecy, that veil of secrecy, is causing more damage than good. Mm-hmm. Let's educate, and let's also provide support to survivors, because something I didn't talk about a lot, because it's my mom's, her testimony, she's a survivor of sexual abuse.
Okay.
And I think that was a major part of her, you know, addiction and turning to drugs and other behaviors as a means of, you know, coping and numbing that pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just critical for me to give people an opportunity and a way to deal with these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so the motto of Get the Word Out is help, hope, and healing. And so when you experience a trauma, the first thing you need is help, somebody to help you make sense of it, somebody to allow you to feel safe. You need help so you can figure things out. And then once you're in a place where you receive help, you need hope for the future.
Right.
That says that you won't always feel this way. What happened to you doesn't dictate the outcome, and that there's greater things. And through that process of getting help and hope, there's healing. There's a shift in your perspective. There's an understanding that you're not a victim, you're a survivor, and you can thrive, and your life can be meaningful. You can have relationships and intimacy. And just the belief in yourself and the things that you were intended to do.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Wow, spoken very profoundly, and I thank you, and thank your husband for that support. You know, they play such a pivotal role in our lives, you know.
Absolutely.
You are a published author, and
yes.
I won't even tell you how long I've been working on, what, 9 books in my head. I kid you not. Shame on me.
Mm-hmm.
Your book is focused on children being able to have a conversation. Would you expound upon that just a little bit more? I know you've kind of pressed for time, and I'm so grateful that you were able to come and be with us, but that is so important to give the children a voice. It's just, again, you're my Shiro, you know.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, the book is called I Say, and it's a simple title, but it's profound in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And I have to shout out the illustrator for the book. She's a fellow Tuskegee alum, Tamaya Smith. And she just did an awesome job of capturing the essence of what I wanted to convey. And so being that I had a son, I said, you know, so often with child sexual abuse, the child doesn't even know that what they think matters. They don't know that what they feel matters. They don't even feel that they have ownership of their own body. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, how can we get this message to them in a real way? And I realized that anytime I went to a school, you know, and I'm a licensed clinical therapist, and I say, hey, I want to come do a group on goals or academic success, they'd be like, absolutely, whenever you want to come. I go to those same schools and say, hey, I want to talk about, you know, preventing child sexual abuse. And they'd be like, oh, we got to check with A3Z.
Right.
We got to contact the parents.
Yeah.
And I'm like, mm-hmm. interesting, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
I said, well, how can I get this information out and people be receptive and willing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, a children's book probably, because, you know, then that would be appropriate and they can look at the content and the word sex or sexual wouldn't spook them. I figure out other ways, boundaries, body awareness, other ways to express those same concepts and meaning, but not using words that people are fearful of. And so that kind of started the process, and I went back to some of those same group activities.
Mm-hmm.
And looked at, you know, what were the concepts that I wanted to convey? How did I want young people to obtain protective factors, which we know will increase or decrease the likelihood of them being abused? So them being able to express their feelings, right? Them being able to say, no, this is my body. I don't have to take this off or put that on. Them being able to say what they want. Right. So mm-hmm. just one statement out of the book says, you know, I say if I'm hot or cold, I say if I'm uncomfortable. So you get to say mm-hmm. what you feel, what you want. And we tried to have the entire book rhyme and talk about experiences that young people have where they find themselves feeling, you know, compelled to do things that adults are requesting.
Right.
And so it's just a really creative way to empower them to have a voice, to empower them to body safety, and to creating the conversation around them. You know, there aren't any bad words. The body parts aren't, you know, bad. So we can say, you know, penis and vagina and understand that that's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
The issue becomes when someone wants to, you know, take advantage of a young person or engage in inappropriate behaviors with them. So empowering young kids with the goal, and I think we kind of did a really good job of addressing that. And again, I had all these ideas, but again, I was just like, should I not?
Yeah,
will people be receptive? And my brother was like, go for it. Like,
for it.
You know, be creative. And, you know, you said, Vanessa, you can't worry about what other people think. If you do that, you'll always be doubting and questioning your next steps. And
Absolutely.
So he was a champion of the underdog, and he told me, you know, just go for it. And so that's what I did, and it's been wonderful.
I am so excited for you. You know, your life is just unfolding, and there's so much that you have to give to us and for us. So your gift really is making room and bringing you before great men.
Absolutely.
So before you go, what's next for Vanessa? And two questions, what's next and how can the listeners stay in tune and stay in contact with you and even maybe have you come and speak with their organization?
Absolutely. And so I am certainly looking for opportunities to get the word out. I think sometimes people aren't aware that, you know, there are people who are willing to come and speak and talk about their experiences,
right.
but also create opportunities for, you know, communities and groups and organizations to learn, because that's the only way this message will get shared. And so my next steps are to be, you know, more engaging in a presentation setting or speaking engagements, looking for opportunities to just get the word out plainly and educate the public about this social issue. So that's what's up next for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue, you know, the practice working with young people around, you know, mental illness and things of that nature. And I'm social. I'm accessible on social media, so Facebook and Instagram. LetsGWO is the best way to find me, or they can email me. So I don't know if there's more specific information you want me to give about how to do that, but I'm very accessible, and I typically respond within 24 to 48 hours.
Wow. Well, Mrs. Vanessa Jackson, thank you so very much for being the woman who is unashamed, who is doing it in the marketplace, and who's championing those who ordinarily would not have a voice. Thank you so very much. And thank you for being a part of our show.
Yes, it is my absolute pleasure. When I saw this opportunity, I was like, yes, this is great, because so often people are afraid of this conversation, yes, for whatever reason. Yes. But when there's someone who's willing and receptive to this, I'm all about it. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Absolutely.
For this opportunity. And I don't take it lightly. And I know this was ordained. And,
yes.
There's a reason behind it. So I'm just eternally grateful.
Wow.
For this show, for your platform, and your sensitivity to such matters.
Yes.
And your positive perspective. And it's just amazing. I'm just in awe. And
thank
so I really appreciate it.
Thank you so very much. We will definitely be checking in on you. And whenever you want to talk and get the word out, would you consider us as first right of refusal, please?
Yes.
You are welcome to her anytime, honey. Thank you so much. God bless you and your beautiful family. And we're expecting some more great things from you. Please know that.
Thank you. Thank
Absolutely.
You. My pleasure.
Thank
yes.
You. See you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Wow. Wow. Man. Vanessa, you have got to get on social media. Check her out. Her story is one of triumph. If you were to read it, you'd think, oh my God, how can she? But then when you see what God has allowed to come through all of that pain, it gives me hope. It gives you hope that life is truly to be lived. If you have a story, if you have a product and you want to have us shed light on it, or you want to share it with us, by all means, think about us here at the Dr. Tanji Show. I'm on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Dr. Tanji Show. I've not done what I really wanted to do with my Facebook Live, but I am going to do better, because today I choose freedom. And that is what I hope that you will choose. I hope that today you are inspired. Oftentimes I will say to you, no matter what you're going through, but I don't want to just brush over that and not have the humanness of who you are. Because what you're going through, it does matter. You can't do it by yourself. You can, but why bother doing it by yourself? There are, if not me, there are people that will listen, but they don't know. People don't know you're hurting unless you tell them. And since we are in the space of being honest, open, and sincere, and in the space of having transparency, I want to take you on a journey with me. For the last few months, I have had a battle going on. There were some things after we were involved in a car accident, and, you know, it just kind of sidelined me for a moment. But there's a space, there's an area in your life. And since we're talking about me, there's an area in my life where I had to come to terms that if I am truly going to answer the call and be who he says that I am, then I have to deal with the reality that there are things in your life that you gotta dispel. Today, I chose to be happy with everything that's going on. And the accident on Sunday and the earthquake in Cuba and Jamaica and so many woes. And I'm thinking, oh my God, how do you show up for you? You know, you guys are important to me. You are. You really, really are. But how do I show up for me? How do I be honest in what I'm doing so that people will know that life really is good. And there are circumstances in our lives that we just do not have any control over. So this morning, as I was preparing for the show and I'm reading my scriptures and I'm listening to, I can't remember who, I think it was Kurt Carr, and I'm listening to the words of that song about almost giving up, almost throwing in the towel. And I had to remind myself that I was born with purpose. I had to give myself permission to choose to be happy, to choose life. There's a scripture that says life and death is in the power of the tongue, and you'll eat the fruit thereof. If you speak death out of your mouth over a situation, let's say you've got a situation that just looks bleak and you have no earthly idea how to get out. How am I going to get through this to get to the other side? When you choose to believe that the purpose, your future is in you and not outside of you, when you choose to believe that the same God that did it back then, that did it yesterday, that did it 10 years ago, that same God knows exactly where you are, then life begins to, or what plagued life begins to lose its power. You are stronger than you know. You're stronger than you were. And there's absolutely nothing that you cannot do. And I believe that. And how do I believe it? And why do I believe it? How? Because I too am living it. And why? Because it's written. We are more than overcomers. We are. We truly are. And when you make up your mind to say, I'm going through this, I'm not going to run from it, I'm going to stand flat-footed, and I'm going to tell everything that had me running from it, you have no more power over me, then that's the true precipice. That's the true person coming to say, you got this. So I'm telling you this. You're stronger than you'll ever know. If you find yourself in situations or in a position that you do not like, instead of speaking what's going wrong in your life, let's try to speak life into your life. Let's say what's going right in your life, if you have the ability to hear this, me talk with you, then guess what? There's a chance. If you can believe, I started the show with hope and faith. I am not just saying this because it sounds good or it's motivating. I am living this every single day of my life. And I'm not going to sit here and say that, well, you know, it's good. Life is good. There have been some times in my life when I'm thinking, oh, dear God, I wish that you did not trust me so much. But then I'm reminded the sheer fact that of all of the sperm that fought to get to my mom, and I'm talking sexual things here, but I overcame, and so can you. You're greater than you think, and you have an answer to a problem that we're waiting for. The mere fact that I can honestly say I need you, it's not a position of weakness. No, my friend, it's a position of power. Because I need you to get so busy with purpose that you begin to answer that question of how you can make life better, not only for yourself, but for those who you've been given authority to be a blessing to. And it can start with a kind word. Man, it can start with a smile. It can start with an attitude of, you know what? I can. So, there are a couple of questions that came to me on last evening, one this morning, and I've only have the space for just the two, so I do apologize to the others, and I'll talk with you off air. But this woman, Alice from Columbus, Georgia, asked the question, how do I get out of my depression? First, Alice, thank you so very much for even trusting me with a question like that. But I've got to be open, honest, and sincere with you. And it's not your depression, that's first and foremost. You're going to dispel that myth of taking ownership for something that's going to cause you angst or cause you to think outside of who you really are. One, it's not your depression. It may be something that you're going through, but it's not yours. Two, if you are a woman of faith and you can hold faith and hope, I want you to know this, that there is absolutely nothing too hard should you have a relationship for us as God through Christ. Absolutely nothing too hard for Him. I am not opposed to someone who is going through depression to seek medical help. There's a taboo in our culture sometimes that says, oh, you just pray about it and, you know, God will fix it. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. And I'm not against that, but He does leave knowledge and He gives wisdom to doctors and therapists that can help. And should you need medication for depression, there should be no shame in that. I pray that you do understand that we here love you at the Dr. Tanji Show. I am grateful that you gave me the opportunity to impart something in your life, and I do ask that you would seek counsel and get the help that you need so that you can continue to live the life that you were born to live. I have another question from Riverside, Riverside County, I'm assuming, Virginia. She asks, I want to start my own business, but I don't have support. Wow, we really don't have enough time to go into that one. Virginia, first, thank you so, so very much for reaching out to me. I believe that there's a business in each and every one of us. I believe that when God said to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue and replenish, that he was truly talking to those who would dare to trust him and to launch their nets out in the deep. When I first started, I have to use myself as an example. I started a business back in 1995. I just gotten cleared of being cancer free. I think I was maybe 2 years cancer free, maybe even a year. And all of my children were under the age of 10. So can you imagine having the weight of starting a business and, oh my God, I have no money. What am I going to do? Long story short, I began to speak. And I began to speak in the way that I'm going to start a business. I'm going to start this agency. I'm going to start this nanny agency. And I'll never forget going over to the bank. I was on my job and I on my lunch break. I went over to the bank and I had written up a little business plan and I presented it to the president of the bank and he laughed at me. And he said, wow, Mrs. Scott, what a wonderful, novel little hobby you have here. And one day I'm sure you'll get it off the ground and so forth. And I remember walking out of that bank crying. I mean, just profusely crying, thinking, what was I thinking that I, you know, could start a business, me? And then I remember what my mama said. My mom at 10 years old would always remind me, Pootie, if you believe in God, then you can do anything you put your mind to. That is very true. And it's true even to today. But even in that believing in God, that's an action word because it takes faith to believe. Faith, believe, they all kind of work together. Write your plan. Speak over your plan. Get involved with people that will support you and will celebrate you. Get involved with people who will always be honest with you. They're not your yes men or yes ladies. They're the people that will be honest and tell you, mm-mm, not their opinion, but why the mm-mm is said, is spoken. Don't quit your day job if that's what you're doing. That pays our bills. From 8 to 5, you work on the job. From 5:30 to midnight, Virginia, you work on the vision. I cannot tell you when you'll start to see a harvest, but I can tell you that if you're faithful to what he gives you, he will be faithful to allow there to be fruit, and it will bless others. Before we go, I wrote a poem, and I do hope you like it. It was one that I felt was timely. It's entitled, One More Minute. One more minute to say I love you. One more minute to say I'm sorry. One more minute to hold your hand. One more minute to tell you about my day. One more minute to wipe away your tears and calm your fears. One more minute to blow out a candle with you. One more minute to hear you laugh. One more minute to pray with you. One more minute to hold your hand. One more minute to show you that you're the best thing that has ever happened to me. just one more minute. For those who may find themselves getting ready or preparing to say goodbye to a loved one or bury a loved one or leaving, I pray that the strength of God arrest whatever doubt, whatever fears you may be having at this very moment. Let's all practice one more minute while our loved ones are here to hear us say, "You're the best thing that has ever happened to me." That's our show. Thank you so very much for being a part of it. It is such a joy to be sitting back in this chair again and to be coming to you live. I love you. I do, I do, I do. Don't forget to join us here every Wednesday, 2 p.m., LA Talk Radio, The Dr. Tanji Show. And I'm going to make it my business to show up for you and me on Mondays, Facebook Live, Talk to Tanji, where we are interactive and we share this journey of life with one another. Until Monday, or until next Wednesday, bye. See you soon.
You're listening to The Dr. Tanji Show with Dr. Tanji Scott, only on LA Talk Radio.